Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're all about cybersecurity. We're going to figure out what it takes to become a cybersecurity engineer.
Yeah, we've got a great roadmap for that, laid out by Krishna Kumar Mahadevan, MKK for short.
MKK.
He's been working in cybersecurity for over 28 years.
Wow, 28 years? That's like forever in tech. So we're using his article called Roadmap to Becoming a Cybersecurity Engineer. And this deep dive is going to be perfect if you're thinking about a career in cybersecurity. Or maybe you just want to know what skills are hot right now. Or if you just like a good cyber thriller, you know?
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about ethical hacking, battling ransomware, even figuring out the legal stuff in cyberspace.
And it's an actual roadmap, not just random tips. So that's super helpful if you're feeling lost.
Oh, yeah. I'm already feeling less lost. And we're just getting started. So MKK really stresses how important it is to have a strong foundation, even if you're aiming for the super technical parts of cybersecurity.
It's like building a house, right?
Yeah.
You need a good foundation before you start adding all the bells and whistles. Right. So in cybersecurity, your foundation is networking, operating systems, scripting, and of course, the fundamentals of cybersecurity itself.
So that means knowing how the internet works, understanding different operating systems like Windows and Linux, and being comfy with scripting languages like Python or Bash.
Exactly. You got to grasp how those systems talk to each other and how they work. That's key if you want to spot weak spots and build defenses.
Right. And I guess that foundation is useful whether you're trying to stop a hacker or if you're designing secure systems in the first place. So what about virtualization and cloud computing? Those seem like they're everywhere these days.
Oh, yeah. Those are becoming super important. Cybersecurity isn't just about physical networks anymore. It's also about securing the cloud, which is where a ton of our data lives these days.
Right. It's massive, and it keeps growing. Okay, so we've got the foundation down. What's next on this cybersecurity roadmap?
Next is diving deeper into networking and security protocols. Think VPNs, firewalls, encryption, all those tools that keep our data safe as it travels around the internet.
Ooh, that's a lot of acronyms. Yeah. Is there some kind of system that helps make sense of all those protocols?
Yeah, there is. It's called the OSI model, and it's kind of like a layer cake. Each layer is a different part of how networks communicate. It's super important in cybersecurity. I think this analogy might help. Imagine you're sending a letter. You write the letter, that's the application layer. You put it in an envelope, that's the presentation layer. You address it, that's the session layer. You choose how to send it, like the post office, that's the transport layer. Then there's figuring out the route, that's the network layer. Putting it in a delivery truck, that's the data link layer. And finally, the truck driver physically delivering it, that's the physical layer.
Okay, that actually makes the OSI model way less scary. So we've got these protocols, but how do cybersecurity pros actually use them? What kind of tools and software do they use?
Well, they've got a whole bunch of tools they can use, like firewalls, for example, like PSNs and Cisco ASA. Those are like digital bouncers. They control what comes in and out of a network.
So like intrusion detection systems. Like Snort and Suricata, those are like the security cameras always watching for shady stuff, right?
Yep, you got it. They're the watchdogs. Always checking network traffic for any signs of trouble.
Right, because it's a massive amount of data. Knowing what to even look for is important.
Yeah, that's where network scanners come in. And vulnerability assessment tools. Imagine Nmap is like a scout mapping out the whole network, finding all the possible entry points. And then tools like Nessus and OpenVAS, they're like detectives. Probing for weaknesses.
So they're trying to find the cracks before the bad guys do.
Exactly. It's like a digital game of cat and mouse.
Speaking of the bad guys, MKK has done 98 consulting engagements. So that means he's dealt with tons of real cyber threats.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That kind of experience is super valuable.
Totally. And that brings us to the next big thing. Yeah. What kind of threats are out there? What are cybersecurity pros up against?
So the world of cyber threats is always changing. First up, we've got malware. That's stuff like viruses, trojans, and ransomware. These can really mess up your systems. And they can even hold your data hostage.
Ransomware, that sounds terrifying. Imagine your whole computer is locked down until you pay up.
Yeah, it's a real threat. And it's getting worse. But it's not just about bad software. There's also social engineering. That's where attackers try to trick you into giving them info. They play on your trust and your willingness to help.
Oh, so like they might pretend to be tech support. Or a coworker to get your passwords or bank info.
Exactly. And they can be super convincing. That's why it's so important to learn about security awareness.
Right. So you don't fall for those tricks.
Exactly. And then there are zero-day vulnerabilities.
Those sound super dangerous.
They are. It's like a flaw in software that nobody knows about. Not even the people who made it. So they're really hard to defend against. Hackers can use them before anyone even knows about them.
So you're basically wide open.
Yeah, it's a race against time to find these flaws and fix them.
So it's not just about reacting to attacks, it's about being proactive and finding weaknesses before they can be used.
You got it. And that's where ethical hacking comes in.
Ethical hacking. I've always been fascinated by this. It's like having your own team of good guy hackers to test your defenses.
Exactly. It's also called penetration testing. And it's all about finding and fixing those weaknesses before the bad guys can use them.
Wow, I'm hooked already. So how does ethical hacking actually work?
So these ethical hackers use things like PTES, that's the Penetration Testing Execution Standard. It's a way to systematically check for and use weaknesses.
Okay, so it's not just random.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
PTES gives you a roadmap for the whole process, from planning to reporting.
Cool. And I bet they have their own special tools. It's like something out of a spy movie.
You're not wrong. They use tools like Metasploit and Burp Suite. These tools are super powerful. They can simulate all kinds of attacks, from network stuff to web applications.
So they can find those hidden vulnerabilities.
Exactly.
So it's like a digital battle with ethical hackers playing the role of the attackers.
That's a good way to put it. And that brings us to red teaming and blue teaming. Red teams are the attackers, and blue teams are the defenders.
Ah, so it's like a constant back and forth. Each team is trying to improve and get better.
Exactly. It's all about finding and fixing those weak spots. But remember, this is all controlled. Ethical hackers have permission to do all this.
Right. It's all above board.
Right.
They're like the superheroes of the digital world.
Yeah.
Using their powers for good. Okay, let's switch gears a bit. Let's talk about cryptography. I know it's super important for cybersecurity, but it always seems so complicated.
Yeah, it's a complex field, but it's also super interesting. Basically, it's about protecting info by transforming it. So it's unreadable to anyone without the key.
So like a secret code?
Yeah, kind of like that.
Like those invisible ink messages I used to write as a kid.
Exactly. And there are different types of encryption, symmetric and asymmetric. Symmetric uses the same key to encrypt and decrypt stuff. And asymmetric uses two keys, a public one and a private one.
So symmetric is like having one key that unlocks both ends.
Right. And asymmetric is like having two keys, one to lock the message and one to unlock it.
Okay. Now my brain's starting to hurt a bit. Can you give me an example I can actually understand?
Sure. Think about those SSL/TLS certificates you see on websites. You know the ones that tell you a site is secure? Those use asymmetric encryption to protect the communication between your browser and the website.
Okay.
Your browser uses the website's public key to encrypt your info, and then only the server with the private key can decrypt it.
So it's like sending a postcard that anyone can read, but it only makes sense to the person with the decoder ring.
You got it. And then there's PKI, or public key infrastructure. That's the system that manages all these keys and certificates to make sure they're secure and trustworthy.
It's like a giant key management system for the whole internet.
Exactly. And wait, there's more. We also have hash functions like MD5 and SHA-256.
Okay, lay it on me. What do those do?
They're like digital fingerprints for data. They create a unique fingerprint for each piece of data, so you can check if it's been messed with.
So if someone changes even one tiny bit of data,
yeah,
the hash function will know.
Exactly. It's like a tamper-proof seal.
Wow.
So cryptography is super important for keeping us safe online.
From buying stuff to protecting our personal info.
Yep. It's the invisible shield protecting our digital world.
And way more interesting than I thought.
For sure. But cryptography is just one part of it. We talked about securing data while it's moving around. But what about securing access to all that data in systems?
Good point. How do you make sure only the right people can get to sensitive info?
Yeah, it's like needing a special key card to get into a secure building. That's where identity and access management comes in, or IAM. It's all about controlling who has access to what.
Okay.
And what they can do with that access. So it's like a bouncer at a club checking your ID.
So it's more than just proving who you are. It's about what you can do once you're inside.
Exactly. IAM uses things like MFA and SSO to verify people's identities.
Okay, let's break that down. MFA is when you have to enter a code from your phone, right? Along with your password.
Yep, you got it. That makes it way harder for someone to hack you.
Makes sense. And SSO is like a master key to access lots of systems with just one login.
Exactly. It's like a universal key card for a building. You don't need a different key for each room.
I like that analogy. So it's easier for users and more secure.
Right.
But how do you make sure people can only access what they need? Like, you don't want everyone to have access to top secret files.
Right. That's where authorization protocols come in, like OAuth and SAMLA. They control who can access what resources.
Yeah.
Based on their role and permissions.
Oh, so it's like having different levels of security clearance. Some people can only access the lobby, and others can access the executive suite.
Exactly. There's also RBAC, or role-based access control, so people get access based on their job title.
Right, so a salesperson can see sales data, but not financial records.
Right.
Makes sense. But what happens if something goes wrong, despite all the security, like a breach or a hack?
That's where incident response and digital forensics come in. It's like having a plan for when things go bad.
Like a fire drill, but for cyber attacks.
Exactly. It's called an incident response plan, or IRP. And it tells you what to do if there's a security breach.
And digital forensics is like the CSI team for cybersecurity, right?
Yak dat. It's like detective work for cybercrime. They use special tools like FTK and autopsy to look at digital evidence, like log files and hard drives.
So they're figuring out what happened, who did it, and what data was stolen.
Exactly.
And it's all digital instead of physical.
Right.
Speaking of legal stuff, we talked about data privacy regulations earlier. Have you ever had to deal with those directly?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Cybersecurity people need to know about all those rules, like GDPR, HIPAA, PCI DSS, and SOX. Those set the standards for how we protect sensitive information.
And there are big penalties for not following the rules.
That's right.
It sounds like a lot to keep track of. Are there any, like, frameworks or best practices to help?
Yeah, there are. Remember those frameworks we mentioned before, like NIST and ISO 27701?
Yeah.
They can help with that, too.
Oh, yeah.
They're not just about building a secure system. They also help you make sure you're following all the rules.
It's like they're the ultimate survival guide for cybersecurity.
I like that. They cover everything from risk management to incident response.
Cool. So they help you build a secure and compliant system.
Exactly.
It sounds like compliance is an ongoing thing, not just a one-time thing.
You got it. It's a journey, not a destination.
Nice.
And as the rules change and new threats pop up, you got to stay flexible and adapt.
Okay, so we've talked about how important compliance is, but what about the actual legal side of cybersecurity? What laws do cybersecurity professionals need to be aware of?
Well, there are a bunch of laws. It really depends on the industry and where you are in the world. For example, in the U.S., there's the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, or CFAA.
Oh, so that's the law that hackers get in trouble under.
Yep. It makes it illegal to access computer systems without permission, whether you're trying to steal stuff, cause damage, or even just snoop around.
Makes sense.
Then there's the Electronic Communications Privacy Act, or ECPA. That one's about intercepting electronic communications.
That seems super relevant these days with all the data we share online.
It is. It covers things like email, phone calls, and even text messages.
Okay.
It protects our privacy and makes sure no one is spying on us without permission.
So it's not just about protecting data from hackers. It's also about protecting our privacy.
Exactly. And then there are laws for specific industries, like HIPAA for healthcare, that protects patient info, and GLBA for financial institutions, that protects customer data.
Wow, it sounds like cybersecurity professionals need to know a lot, both about tech and about the law.
They do. It's a multidisciplinary field.
That's what makes it so interesting.
It is.
Okay, so let's look ahead. What are some of the big things that are shaping the future of cybersecurity?
One thing that keeps me up at night is how sophisticated cyber attacks are getting. Hackers are always coming up with new ways to get around our defenses.
It's like a never-ending arms race.
It really is. Huh. And it's being fueled by things like AI and machine learning.
Oh, that's interesting. How are those being used in cybersecurity? Are we talking about robots launching cyber attacks?
Not quite robots.
Yeah.
But AI and ML are being used by both the good guys and the bad guys. Hackers are using AI to make their attacks faster and more efficient.
So instead of one hacker, you could have an army of AI bots.
Right. But it's not all bad news. The good guys are also using AI to analyze data and find threats.
So it's like having a superpowered detective.
Yeah, kind of like that. AI can find patterns and anomalies that humans might miss.
Cool. So AI is becoming a key tool in the fight against cybercrime.
It is.
It's like a high-stakes chess match.
You got it. Another big trend is cloud security. More and more companies are moving their stuff to the cloud, and that creates a whole new set of challenges.
Right, we talked about cloud security before, but I want to dig a little deeper. What are some of the specific challenges?
One of the biggest challenges is that shared responsibility thing we talked about. Companies need to understand what they're responsible for and put the right security measures in place.
It's easy to just assume that the cloud provider is taking care of everything.
Yeah, that's a mistake. It's a shared responsibility.
Right.
And then there's data privacy and compliance in the cloud, making sure your data is protected and follows all the rules can be really tough.
Especially when it's spread across different cloud providers and countries.
Exactly. And we can't forget about how complex cloud environments are. With so many different providers, services, and configurations, it can be hard to keep track of everything.
So cloud security requires a different way of thinking.
It does. You need to really understand cloud technologies and security best practices.
And it's constantly changing.
Yep. New stuff is coming out all the time.
Okay, so we've got sophisticated attacks using AI and the challenges of cloud security. What other trends are shaping the future of cybersecurity?
One that's getting bigger is the convergence of IT and OT.
Wait, hold on. What's OT?
OT is the stuff that controls physical processes, like power grids, factories, transportation systems, and critical infrastructure.
Oh, so the things that keep the lights on and the water running?
Exactly. And as those systems become more digital, they become more vulnerable to attacks.
That's kind of scary. So what does that mean for cybersecurity?
It means that cybersecurity people need to know about both IT and OT systems. They need to be able to protect both.
So it's not just about protecting computers and networks anymore. It's about protecting our physical world, too.
Right. The lines between the physical and digital are blurring, and that makes cybersecurity even more important.
Because an attack on an OT system could have real-world consequences.
Exactly.
It sounds like the future of cybersecurity is about protecting everything.
It is.
It's an exciting time to be in this field.
It is. But with all this talk about technology and regulations, let's not forget about the human factor.
Yes, the human element. We talked about social engineering before.
Right. People are often the weakest link. And hackers know this. They use our trust, our curiosity, and our fear against us.
It's amazing how convincing they can be. Even smart people can fall for phishing emails and fake websites.
That's why security awareness training is so important. We need to teach people how to spot these threats.
And make good security decisions.
Right.
So it's not just about building technical defenses. It's also about educating people.
Exactly. It's about creating a culture of security awareness.
So everyone understands their role in keeping things safe.
Right.
That includes things like strong passwords, MFA, being careful about links and attachments.
And reporting anything suspicious.
Right.
It's all about layers of defense.
Technology and human awareness working together.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got sophisticated attacks, the convergence of IT and OT, and the human element. What about the role of the government and law enforcement?
Oh, they're super important. They investigate cyber attacks, arrest cyber criminals, and make policies to improve cybersecurity.
So they're like the cyber police.
You could say that.
Yeah.
And they're working more and more with private companies to share info and work together.
Which makes sense, because this is a global problem.
Right. Cybercrime doesn't care about borders. So everyone needs to work together.
There are even international organizations working on this, right?
Yes, like Interpol and the United Nations.
It sounds like a lot of people are working hard to address these challenges.
They are, but it's a constant battle. We need to keep adapting and evolving.
Because the bad guys are always finding new ways to attack.
That's right.
So cybersecurity is never boring.
Definitely not.
You're always learning and growing and making a real difference.
That's right.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground in this first part of our deep dive. We've looked at the basic skills, the tools, and even the world of the SOC.
It's been a great overview.
I'm exhausted, but in a good way.
Me too.
There's so much to learn about this field.
There is.
Stay tuned for part two, where we'll keep exploring this awesome world of cybersecurity.
It's going to be great.
Welcome back to the deep dive. In part one, we explore the skills and tools that make up the world of cybersecurity. We even got a peek inside a security operations center, but there's still so much more to uncover.
That's right. We talked about the tech stuff, but we also got to understand the legal and compliance side of things, especially when it comes to sensitive data.
Right. It gets pretty complex.
Yeah.
And it's not just about avoiding a slap on the wrist. It's about protecting people's privacy.
Absolutely. These rules are there for a reason. They make sure organizations are handling sensitive info responsibly.
Right. We mentioned some of those regulations in part one, like GDPR, HPA, PCI DSS, and SOX.
Yeah, a lot of acronyms.
I know. But they all deal with different risks in different industries. So what does it actually mean to be compliant with these regulations?
Well, it starts with knowing what data you have and where it is. That's called data mapping and inventory.
So like taking inventory of your stuff, but for data?
Exactly. You got to know what kind of data you have, where it's stored, and who can access it.
So you're creating a map of your data.
Right. Once you have that, you can start putting security controls in place.
Like what?
Encryption, access controls, security assessments, even data loss prevention tools.
It sounds like a lot of work. Are there any tools or frameworks that can help?
There are. Remember NIST and ISO 27001? They can help with compliance too.
Oh, right. Those frameworks we talked about before.
Yep. They're not just about security. They also give you guidelines for following the rules.
So they're like a Swiss Army knife for cybersecurity.
I like that analogy.
You got everything you need.
They cover risk management, access control, incident response, and a bunch more.
So they help you build a system that's both secure and compliant.
Exactly.
It sounds like compliance is an ongoing process,
It is.
not just a one-time thing.
It's a journey, not a destination.
I like that. And as regulations change and new threats emerge, you got to stay on top of things.
Absolutely. You need to adapt and evolve your security practices.
Okay, so we've talked about compliance. But what about the legal side of cybersecurity? What specific laws should cybersecurity professionals know about?
Well, there are a lot of laws. It really depends on where you are and what industry you're in. For example, in the U.S., there's the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, or CFAA.
Oh, so that's the one that hackers get in trouble under.
Yep, it's against the law to access computer systems without permission, no matter what your reason is.
So whether you're stealing data, causing damage, or just snooping around.
Right, it's all illegal.
Makes sense.
And then there's the Electronic Communications Privacy Act, or ECPA. That one's about intercepting electronic communications.
That seems super relevant these days, with everyone sharing so much stuff online.
It is. It covers things like email, phone calls, and even texts. It
Wow.
protects our privacy and makes sure nobody's spying on us.
Without a warrant or a good reason.
Right.
So it's not just about protecting data from hackers, it's also about protecting our privacy.
Exactly. And then you have laws for specific industries, like UPA for healthcare and GLBA for finance.
Those protect patient and customer data.
Right.
So cybersecurity professionals need to know both tech and law.
That's right.
It's a multidisciplinary field.
It is.
And that's what makes it so interesting.
For sure.
Okay, so let's look ahead. What are some of the big trends in cybersecurity?
One that worries me is how sophisticated attacks are getting. Hackers are getting better and better at what they do.
It's a constant arms race.
It is.
The good guys versus the bad guys.
Right. And technologies like AI and machine learning are making it even more intense.
Oh, yeah, AI. How is that being used in cybersecurity?
Well, both sides are using it. Hackers are using AI to make their attacks more effective.
So they're harder to detect.
Exactly. But the good guys are using AI too, to analyze data and find threats.
It's like having a superpower detective on your side.
That's a good way to put it.
AI can see things that humans can't.
Right?
So it's a powerful tool in the fight against cybercrime.
It is. It's like a chess match. With AI making the moves, another big trend is cloud security. More and more companies are moving their stuff to the cloud, and that creates new challenges.
We talked about cloud security before, but can we go a little deeper? What are some of the specific challenges?
Well, one is that shared responsibility thing. It's important for companies to understand their role in security. They can't just assume the cloud provider is taking care of everything.
Right, it's a partnership.
Exactly. And then there's data privacy and compliance in the cloud. You got to make sure your data is protected and that you're following all the rules.
Which can be tricky when your data is spread across different providers and countries.
It can. And then there's the complexity of cloud environments. There are so many different parts and configurations. It can be hard to keep track of it all.
So cloud security is its own thing.
It
You
is.
need to understand cloud technologies and best practices.
And it's constantly evolving.
Yeah, new stuff is coming out all the time.
Okay, so we've got AI-powered attacks and the challenges of cloud security. What other trends are on the horizon? One that's getting bigger is the convergence of IT and OT.
Okay, back up. What's OT?
OT is the technology that controls physical processes,
Right.
like power grids, factories, transportation systems, and critical infrastructure.
Oh, so the stuff that keeps the world running.
Exactly.
And as those systems get more digital, they become more
All
vulnerable.
right.
So that creates new risks.
It does.
What does this mean for cybersecurity?
Means that cybersecurity people need to understand both IT and OT.
They need to be able to protect both types of systems.
Exactly.
So it's not just about computers and networks anymore.
Right.
It's about protecting the physical world
The
too.
lines are blurring.
And that makes cybersecurity even more important.
It does. A cyber attack on an OT system could have real-world consequences.
It could disrupt our lives in a big way.
It could.
So the future of cybersecurity is about protecting everything.
I think so.
It's an exciting time to be in this field.
It is. But with all this talk about technology, let's not forget about the human element.
The human factor. We talked about social engineering before.
Right. people are often the weakest link. And attackers know that. They use our trust and our curiosity against us.
Yeah, they can be really convincing. Even smart people can fall for their tricks.
That's why security awareness training is so important. We need to teach people how to protect themselves.
How to spot the bad guys.
Exactly.
So it's not just about technology. It's about people, too.
Right.
It's about building a culture of security awareness.
Where everyone understands their role.
And takes responsibility for protecting sensitive info.
Absolutely.
That means using strong passwords, being careful about links and attachments, and reporting anything that seems fishy.
Exactly.
It's about layers of defense. Technology and human awareness working together.
That's the best way to stay safe.
Okay, so we've got sophisticated attacks, the convergence of IT and OT, and the human element.
Right.
What about the role of government and law enforcement? Where do they fit in?
They're essential. They investigate cyber attacks, catch cyber criminals, and make policies to improve cybersecurity.
So they're like the cyber police.
You could say that.
They enforce the law in the digital world.
Right. And they're working more and more with private companies to share info and collaborate.
Which makes sense, because cybercrime is a global problem.
It is.
It doesn't stop at borders.
Nope. That's why it's important for everyone to work together.
And there are international organizations focused on this too, like Interpol and the UN.
Yes. They're working to fight cybercrime on a global scale.
It sounds like a lot of people are working hard to address these challenges.
They are.
But it's an ongoing battle.
It is.
The bad guys are always one step ahead.
It seems that way sometimes.
So we need to keep adapting and evolving.
Absolutely.
Can't get complacent.
Nope.
It sounds like cybersecurity is never boring.
It's definitely not.
There's always something new to learn.
And new challenges to solve.
You're making a real difference.
That's the best part.
Okay, so that's the end of part two of our deep dive. We've explored some emerging trends, the legal landscape, the human element, and the role of government and law enforcement.
It's been a great discussion.
We're starting to see the bigger picture of cybersecurity.
I think so.
And it's clear that this field is only going to get more important.
Absolutely.
So stay tuned for part three, where we'll wrap up our deep dive with some final thoughts.
Sounds good.
Welcome back to the deep dive. We've explored the foundational skills, the evolving threats, the legal landscape, and the crucial role of human awareness in cybersecurity. It's been quite a journey so far.
Yeah, we even took a deep dive into cloud security and the convergence of IT and OT, showing how everything's becoming so interconnected.
And in part two, we explored the role of governments and law enforcement in fighting cybercrime, showing this is a truly global problem that needs a united front.
Absolutely.
So it's clear that cybersecurity is complex. There are no easy answers. With technology moving so fast, what does the future hold?
That's the million-dollar question, right?
Yeah. What can our listeners expect in the world of cybersecurity in the next few years? What's coming next?
I think those lines between the physical and digital worlds will keep blurring. With more and more devices connecting to the internet, there are just way more opportunities for attacks, and we'll need to find new ways to secure everything, from smart homes and self-driving cars to critical infrastructure and those industrial control systems.
So that old idea of perimeter security is kind of going away, right? Because everything is connected.
Exactly. It's not about building walls anymore. It's about baking security into every single thing, every device, every system. Every process.
So like weaving security into the very fabric of our digital world.
Yeah, like an invisible cybersecurity mesh.
I like that. What about AI and ML?
Oh, AI and ML will definitely play an even bigger role, both for good and bad. AI-powered attacks will get even more sophisticated and much harder to detect. But at the same time, AI-driven defenses will be super important for analyzing all that data and spotting threats quickly.
It's like a whole new level of this battle between attackers and defenders with AI as the ultimate weapon. Kind of scary, kind of cool.
Yeah, but remember, AI is just a tool. What matters is how it's used, whether it's for good or bad.
Right. And we can't forget about us humans. Even with all the technology, people are still a big part of the equation.
Oh, absolutely. Social engineering is not going away. Attackers will get even trickier trying to get people to give up their information or click on bad links.
So we need to be even smarter about teaching people how to stay safe online.
Definitely. Cybersecurity awareness is a must-have for every organization.
It sounds like the future of cybersecurity is this constant back and forth, this game of cat and mouse, with both sides always trying to outsmart each other.
It is, but that's also what makes it so interesting and so rewarding. You're always learning, always growing, always making a difference.
Okay, so we've got these big trends like AI, the changing nature of threats, and the human factor. But for our listeners who want to jump into this world, what advice would you give them based on everything we've talked about?
The most important thing is to be passionate about technology, be a problem solver.
Yeah.
Cybersecurity is all about constant learning and being ready for new challenges.
Yeah. It's not a job for someone who just wants to clock in and clock out. You need to be curious, always learning, and comfortable in a world that's always changing.
Exactly. Build that strong foundation in networking, operating systems, and those security basics. Understand those different types of threats, those vulnerabilities, how those attacks happen.
So those core things we covered in part one, they're really the stepping stones, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Then, as you get some experience, specialize in something you really like. Ethical hacking, incident response, cloud security, digital forensics. There's a place for everyone.
That's awesome. So many different paths you can take.
Exactly. And don't forget about real-world experience. Get involved with Capture the Flag competitions, set up your own lab at home, maybe contribute to some open-source security projects.
Really put those skills to work.
Yeah, those are great ways to make yourself stand out. And while certifications look good on your resume, remember, they're just a piece of the puzzle. Focus on really understanding the ideas behind them, not just checking boxes.
So it's about knowing your stuff inside and out, not just having a piece of paper.
Right. And one last thing. Cybersecurity is a team effort. Connect with other people in the field. Go to conferences. Join online groups. Share what you know. Learn from others. Build those connections. They can really help you succeed.
That's great advice. Cybersecurity is all about working together, right? The more we share and learn from each other, the safer we all become.
Exactly. So as you start your cybersecurity journey, stay curious. Don't give up and never stop learning. There's always something new to discover.
Okay, so we've reached the end of our cybersecurity deep dive. Any final thoughts or insights for our listeners?
Cybersecurity isn't just an IT problem anymore. It affects businesses, our society as a whole, the entire world. The threats are getting worse. The stakes are higher than ever.
It's a field that touches every part of our lives.
Right. And as our world becomes even more connected, we need more skilled and passionate cybersecurity people. It's a tough job, but it's so rewarding.
So for those listening who are feeling inspired and ready to take the plunge, what's the one thing they should remember?
Embrace the challenge, stay curious, and never stop learning. The future of cybersecurity needs you.
And that's a wrap for this episode of The Deep Dive. We hope this exploration of cybersecurity has been helpful and has sparked your interest in this awesome, ever-changing field.
If you want to learn more, check out those resources we mentioned throughout the episode. Take that first step towards a cool career in cybersecurity.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of cybersecurity. Until next time, stay curious and stay safe.